Welcome, everyone, to Reader of Hearts Radio, another fine broadcast. This is your host, Darren Owens, and I am here also with my comrade in crime, my co-host, Scott Kreitzka. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, Darren. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. And, Scott, you're in sunny California.
Yes, I'm sitting with really good friends right now, out surrounded by beautiful trees in Northern California.
Fabulous. And you know, Scott, it's I got this surprise in the mail yesterday, and you know I'm going to brag about you before we get to our guest. But Mr. Scott has a CD out, a music CD out called La La Liberation. And I'm very proud of you, Scott. This is fantastic. This has been one of your dreams for a lot of years.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it took a long time, but yeah, it was quite a process. I feel really good about it. You know, it's a nice rock pop album, but with, you know, conscious lyrics in the music, which is why the band is called The Chorus, based on, you know, A Course in Miracles and being mindful in everything that we do.
Right. Well, and especially with music, because literally music is language of the soul as well. So everything we listen to as far as music goes, you have to be very careful these days. So this is excellent that you're putting this work out there, that people can actually enlighten their souls through your music. And this is produced through your record company too, Wide Awake Records.
That is correct. And I'm still looking for people to add to that record label. And I think, Darren, we might be doing something, correct?
That's right. We are planning some meditation CDs, affirmation CDs, and digital downloads, because I constantly get people emailing me or asking me to have more available as far as guided imagery. So we hear your calls. We're going to try to do something, so keep up with us on our websites and such. And make sure and tell where people can get your album, Scott.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just on our website. For the band, which is thecourseband.com, and course is C-O-U-R-S-E.
Awesome. Well, we have a special show today, and Reader of Hearts Radio, the intention of what Scott and I are trying to do with the show is to bring individuals to the world. And some of the individuals will be very well known in the public eye, and some won't. And we call these miracle workers, quiet, ordinary miracle workers that are doing fantastic work wherever they're living, wherever their location is, all around the world. And we have a very special friend. We've known this fella for years and years and years. And we hung out a long time ago in the Bay Area of California. And I want to introduce Sheldon Joe. Sheldon, welcome.
Hi.
And Sheldon is a very special person. And we're not talking about just his spirituality, but his personality as well. I remember Sheldon. Scott and I were both working and living in the Bay Area of California near San Francisco. When was this? 2007?
Yeah, 2007, 2008.
Yeah. So, and we were both working at this spiritual bookstore. And I remember the day Sheldon walked in for the first time, and this is hilarious. He walks in. Okay, most of the people that go to a New Age bookstore, they're, you know, they've got their flowery outfits on, or they're wisping in and all this kind of thing. Here comes Sheldon with his motorcycle helmet and his leather chaps, walking in for the first time, and he just had this energy, this amazing energy of not only just a spiritual seeker, but you just knew that this person had some sort of message. And at the time, he didn't know it, but he does
yeah,
now.
It was the energy of, what the heck am I doing here?
Yeah.
What's in here?
I don't know. I'm supposed to be here. Why am I here? And eventually, over time, Sheldon began to do spiritual groups, and that's what he's here to talk about, is his spiritual journey and how he has brought his own remedies of healing to the public. And that's what we want to talk about today, Sheldon. So, Scott, yeah. So Scott, I want you to tell us a little bit about Sheldon, because I know you've got to experience his energy more than I have, since I've traveled and I live kind of out in the outskirts of life here. So go ahead and introduce Sheldon to us.
Yeah, so again, you know, we met Sheldon Joe back in 2008, and this is, I think, Sheldon, you've been on quite a journey, which we'll talk more about, but really when we met Sheldon, just you have this amazing energy about you, and over time realized that there's this leader, spiritual leader inside Sheldon. And so I know when I left the Bay Area, Sheldon took over leading Course in Miracles group and continued. You know, basically, Sheldon can do hands-on healing, just touch people, and almost immediately they're almost cured. And that, just things like that have been blowing me away about Sheldon. And just like me, he's got a day job, but the way he goes about doing his day job is beyond anything I've ever seen. You know, actually doing meditation with his coworkers, seeing his tough customers with love and light. And also, he's on the board of directors for the nonprofit organization in San Mateo, Arts Unity Movement. And so we'll get a chance to talk about all this. And so I just want to say a good, hearty good morning to Sheldon.
Welcome, Sheldon. And I want to say here that Scott and Sheldon are actually in the same location, and they're talking on a Wi-Fi system. So we may have a little interference. So not to worry, I will try to repeat the important information if we have to. So anyway, Sheldon, let's talk about your awakening process, because a lot of the listeners that we have, and also Scott's clients and my clients, and I'm sure yours, we all have at some point in our life said, why am I here? What is God? What is spirituality? There's this sort of inborn question mark that leads us to our awakening process. Can you tell us a little bit about how that started for you?
That question was something that had been, with me, you know, all my life, right? I think for a lot of us, it was deep inside, but it was something that I ignored and pushed down and, you know, just focused on school and, you know, trying to make money and do all of that stuff in the world. But obviously that's something that doesn't fulfill that quest, that need, that thirst. And, I had to go through a period of getting lost in the world and got into drugs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And it was, you know, after going through all of that and sort of hitting a bottom with that it kind of took a new turn and then, hit new levels and stuff like that. And that's when I stumbled into the Sacred Paths bookstore where I met you two. I had probably only been clean for about a month or two at that point.
Well, you know, it sounds like the process called the Dark Night of the Soul, and where we...
Very dark.
You realize, you know, that the voices outside of us and the power that we think we need as far as money and relationships and the house, the this and that, it's not fulfilling, like you said. And we go through this dark night period where literally God comes in and says, okay, we're going to get rid of every voice that's not mine. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. And it sometimes you have to go all the way through all of that in order to really surrender. And
right.
That process of surrendering and letting go and calling in a higher power and connecting to your, you know, your higher self or Holy Spirit or whatever you want to call it, right? You have to go through a lot of challenges sometimes before you get to that point. I think that's why the 12 steps is such a potent spiritual practice if you use it right. Because, you know, it says, you know, your life's out of control, you can't handle it, and, you know, you surrender to a higher power. And if you truly do that, you know, the higher power responds.
Right. Well, it clears the clutter. You know, it's a great process to sort of clear that energy debris out of our minds so that we can literally begin to hear the Holy Spirit's voice or our higher self. And what was the point that led you to a spiritual bookstore? I mean, what was it? What was it at that time that led you to this? Because if it wasn't for that interaction, the crossroads of your life, you wouldn't be where you are now. So what was it at that point that just led you into that bookstore?
Well, even when I was a drug addict, I was reading spiritual books, as crazy as that sounds, but it was always an undercurrent. I had tried to go to Sacred Paths many times, and uh, I I happened to be going to, I had been working on Carolyn Meese's archetype cards and stuff like that. And the story was kind of funny, was I was working on developing the archetype wheel that she has in that book. And I was writing all the archetypes on these 3x5 cards. And I was getting frustrated because I went through a whole deck of 3x5 cards and I wasn't out. And I'm like, she ought to have these freaking cards pre-made in a deck,
you know? Yeah.
What the hell? And then a buddy comes over and I say, hey, let's go grab some dinner. And then we're walking down the street and Sacred Paths Bookstore is open late because Scott is running the very first Course in Miracles study group there, right? And I'm like, hey, that bookstore is open. I've been trying to go in there for a couple times and it's always closed because I'm always going late at night, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, hey, let's check it out. So we pop in there and Scott's standing there and he's like, hey, are you here for the study group? And I'm like, no. No, stay away from me, dude. And then he's just like, have you heard of Course in Miracles? And I'm like, actually, I have. And I'd read it in some Wayne Dyer books and all that. And, you know, they quote it at the top of the chapter where it has a little quote and it says Course in Miracles. And I'm thinking in my head, maybe I ought to go to that book instead of reading other people's books. I keep referencing that book. And then I was walking away and I was kind of freaked out because Scott had said, are you here for the group? And I'm like, no, I'm not into any group, dude. And then walk over to the bookstore and Carolyn Meese's archetype cards are literally touching the Course in Miracles. They're side by side on the bookshelf there.
Wow.
And I had just said they ought to have these cards pre-made in a deck. And then 2 hours later, I'm standing there looking at them and I'm like, you know what? I'm slow. I'm kind of stupid, but I get that. You know, it totally freaked me out. I was just like, God, all right. So, you know, I was broke and unemployed, but I had to go home and think about whether I could afford the $30 to buy the book. And I looked over at him and I said, is this thing every Wednesday? And he's like, yep. And I said, I'll be here next Wednesday. And then I bought
and
the book.
And you were. And I think that's when I met you, was that Wednesday you came.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and for our listeners, if you're interested in Carolyn Meese's work, Mace.com, M-Y-S-S.com, and A Course in Miracles, their website is acim.org. And it's interesting that A Course in Miracles, that has literally been the story for thousands of people, millions of people, is being led to something like The Course in Miracles. It's an authentic spiritual path, one of the many that we have available to us. And the synchronicities, you're literally describing the divine intervention that happens for so much of us. And so many people say, oh, you know, is God really out there? Does he hear me? And yes, I mean, just look at your story here. This was completely scripted and you were guided, even without you knowing it, into where you're going to be and what you're doing now. So divine intervention always reveals itself to us through these stories. I love it.
It does, and I think Sheldon alluded to it earlier. There's something about Sheldon, even through his dark night of the soul period, you were actually meditating while you were going through that period. Can you describe what that was like for you?
This sounds really crazy, but I was doing a lot of speed, methamphetamine, and I was able to, because I had done some practice, I had done a lot of practice, but, you know, hadn't made a deep, super deep connection that I have now. But I did have some level of mindfulness. And so I would slam speed. I would do speed and I could sit on the roof and sort of hold my mind halfway together. Most people are like bouncing off the walls and, you know, going completely bonkers when they're on that stuff. And I was able to sort of hold a certain state even while I was completely like tripping out.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit will use any doorway it needs to get your attention.
Yeah. You just have to pay attention, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, they always say it's a still small, a still quiet voice, right? So,
Yeah. And then it starts shouting at us at some point. So tell us what happened after those years in the Course in Miracles group, and you actually carried it on. Scott, tell a little bit about that evolution too, because I know you were a big part of that.
Well, yeah, there was. You talk about, you know, the course talks about special relationships, and for whatever reason, you, Darren, myself, and now this group that I get to watch from the sidelines that is still together. I mean, Jacqueline and Sheldon met in this group, and now they're married. I mean, it's pretty amazing to see what can happen when Holy Spirit brings people together. on a needed spiritual and human journey. And so, I mean, I have moments where I just get really emotional. I think about how beautiful those experiences and people are, and yet at the same time, we're in this world to forgive. So it's like, why not have, you know, like the Course says, the happy dream at the same time? And I think Sheldon and those around him demonstrate that on a daily basis, which is why I'm just really happy Sheldon, we're interviewing Sheldon today.
Yeah, and he carried on after you moved from the Bay Area. He carried on the Course in Miracles, right, Sheldon?
I did. That was also part of, has been part of my journey and part of the healing process. Scott's kind of, one of Scott's roles with me, not only as a friend, has been to kick my ass along the way. And, gently with love and compassion, yes, and a swift kick. But when Scott started the group, and then within 6 months, I think he was going to go back to Seattle. And I was totally, you know, loving, you know, the group. And at that point, prior to that, I'd never meditated in public with a group. My practice or my journey was always private. So I was really tripping the first time I walked into that room with my motorcycle jacket and my helmet and, you know, off my body. And I'm like, you know, who are these people, you know, these freaks or whatever. And I was just tripping out. So at that, and, you know, 6 months later, Scott's like, I'm like, who's going to keep the group going? You know, and he's like, you are. And one of my kind of indicators for fear barriers that maybe I should be doing something, but I don't want to, or I'm afraid, was I just start bawling like a baby. And so my whole body starts convulsing, and I start crying. And I was like, dang it. And so at that point, I didn't really know. And Scott was like, no, you're going to lead the group. That's the only way. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, that's the only way it's going to continue. You have to take it. And then after like 2 weeks, I kind of calmed down and I'm like, all right, I think I can handle, I'll facilitate. I'll just sit there and facilitate, but who's going to lead the meditation? And then he's just like, you are. And I was just like, and I started crying some more.
Well, that, you know, what we call, what that is, you know, the whole, like I always say, awakening process, when it happens like that, it will literally come up through the emotions, and then it will begin to awaken into the entire body. So that whole process that you're talking about was literally being, you were spiritualizing yourself, where your mind and your heart was beginning to bridge itself. And I found that in a lot of my private sessions and in my own research, is that when the mind and the heart begin to communicate for the first time, it's as if this reunion has happened. And it comes up through a lot of emotion like that. And Scott, what we call Scott in this situation, is a sacred catalyst. He was literally the sacred catalyst for your spiritual awakening as a spiritual leader.
Absolutely. See? And he still is. I mean, it kind of came up even with this thing. Hey, you want to be on that show, on your show? And I, you know, didn't reply for like a week or whatever. It's kind of, yeah, because, what's happening. And he just starts laughing.
Well, and it's true, because when truth hits us, it hits us all in different ways. Either we get really scared, we get really emotional, we get really excited, or we literally shut down. And then there are those times when we just say, you know what, I'm jumping off the pier here. And that's your, you know, a lot of us, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners have had this very same experience, is when the spirit begins to awaken, it begins to change our entire reality, and your whole life changed at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, from my perspective, what I saw from Sheldon, even from day one, he walks in, he's got a presence. You know, one thing we didn't talk about was his kung fu background, you know, and that building of chi energy that is just natural to Sheldon, but I think it was enhanced. But I think what I love about your story, Sheldon, is I think you're like all of us, in that we get freaked out when we realize we got to step into a leadership position, but you're doing it every day. And that's why we wanted to have you on here, so that everyone could understand that it's, one, okay to go through that process, and two, you're just a wonderful example of how to be in the world because of that.
Thanks. Absolutely. It's, I think for me, it's like that transition from the need to control and be in charge to allowing spirit, allowing grace, allowing, you know, divine to guide and sort of direct your life. Right. And that transition, you know, for all of us, because we're so used to our egoic mind, right, being in control, is that process of really surrendering can be scary at times.
Well, it's that sacred truth that we all have to learn, not my will but thine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. When our personal will becomes that of the divine's. And it's so funny, people are so afraid to say, you know what, I want God in my relationships, but not in my money. I'll take care of that.
Exactly.
Or the vice versa.
Relations, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in reality, everything that you're wanting to manifest in your life, if you literally surrender to divine will, which is really the will that you want to manifest in your life when you get beyond all the fear, everything begins to fall into place. It literally does. But yeah, we are so afraid of letting go of control. That's an epidemic, seriously.
Yeah, my thing, like with the secret and stuff like that, I've had, you know, law of attraction. I've had my kind of thing with that, where sometimes where people are talking about they're trying to manifest something, or I got to mantra this, and they're doing it from a place of fear.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately when they're doing it from a place of fear, they're vibrating a level of fear, right? And so all they're doing is attracting that repetition of that same exact teaching for them, right? And so for me, it's been like, I think what you're saying is allowance, right? The true surrender is allowing what is to be.
Absolutely.
And being able to embrace that and returning to a place of peace. That's one of the course talks about, right? There's never a circumstance where attacking your brother is appropriate.
Right.
And that message that it's never appropriate to attack your brother, you know, or condemn your brother in your thought or your deed or your action. And so when you can use whatever circumstance might be coming up and surrender that and release that and return to peace at that moment, that allowing is an aspect of divine, right? Of the divine love. So allowing all things, accepting all things, trusting the perfection of all things exactly as they are. So when you do that, you actually are raising your vibration to the highest level you possibly can in that moment, right? Which is divine love. And you will manifest, like you're saying, at that level automatically. So you don't have to actually do anything.
Absolutely. See, that's the truth right there that gets so hidden under, you can have everything, you can manifest anything. And that the truth is that the universe, God, wants everything for us. We are supposed to be abundant, healthy, happy creatures on this planet because we're all children of the divine. So when you're literally raising your vibrational frequency into divine love, like what you're talking about, Sheldon, you're putting yourself back into that remembrance of who you are. And that begins to manifest your life. So everything begins to take care of itself. That's how that works.
Exactly. And I think some folks just naturally carry that, like you, Darren. I've seen you do like healing with Holy Spirit. And that's one thing I want to talk about, like with Sheldon, is I've personally felt like his healing touch as well. And that was something, because of that divine love aspect, I wanted to talk more with Sheldon about all the healing abilities that you've been able to do. So first, maybe just start out with like a couple stories of like what you've done or what you've experienced with your healing.
When Scott says, oh, you're a healer, you need to get out there, the first thing that happened was I started shaking and crying like a baby. So it's like, yeah, right, dude, that's not going to happen. But he actually had me in the Sacred Paths, the healing fair that they had there. And probably one of the first ones was one of the other healers was guided to help a woman and her mother to see me. And I had never really done anything like that in public at all. And I was kind of freaking out. And of course, Holy Spirit guided, and there were supposed to be two healers in that room where the Course in Miracles group was, but the other healer didn't show up. So I had the room by myself, which helped me feel a little bit more comfortable. And this older lady comes in and she asks me, she has lung problems or something. So I just laid hands with her for like the 5 minutes and she left. And she did take my email address. And I think like 2 weeks later, I got an email from the daughter who was with her and said, can you see my mother in private? She's been coughing up this black stuff for like the last 2 weeks and she thinks that her lungs are clearing. She'd like you to do it again. So I went over there and I did it for like an hour. And really didn't know, you know, anything about it. I was just sort of, my whole practice has just been to allow, to meditate, to quiet my mind, to step as far out of the way as possible, and just to allow love to flow through. And
and love heals all things, right? So I did that for her and left. And basically, I found out that she had been having lung problems and was an asthmatic and had all these things and couldn't, and was on all kinds of medications. And like a couple weeks later, she basically stopped all her medications, was playing tennis and walking around and doing all kinds of stuff, and was totally fine. So
wow,
that kind of started, I was like, okay, there's something here maybe.
Well, you know, all healing is, and Sheldon, you know this too, and Scott as well, we've all been working with energy healing for so many years. All healing is the rebalancing of energy. It lets fear, transforms fear into divine love. So any kind of dis-ease in the body begins to rebalance itself. The higher vibrational frequencies start in, and that's exactly a fantastic example of that. You're just a channel for that energy. Right. And that's amazing. I love these stories. I love the stories of healing because it not only shows the person you're helping to heal the power of the Holy Spirit, but it showed you the power of the Holy Spirit working through you.
Exactly. There's always healing relationships.
Yeah. Come a little closer to the mic there.
It said that, you know, for healing, it's always both parties, right?
Absolutely.
We all heal together, so.
And, you know, I want to say here, too, if there's anyone that wants to call in and ask us a question or has a story of healing to share with us, you can give us a call at 888-627-6008. And go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. I was just about to do that. But also to just continue and mention, I know personally, and this is why, yeah, I was going to say it'd be great to hear from people, maybe people listening that have interacted with Sheldon. But I know personally, like, we've been walking down the street and I'll say something like, wow, my back really hurts. Sheldon will just touch it and boom, instant relief.
Wow. And that,
I have.
I love this.
I manage an auto body shop in my day job. And I've been, the guys, I'm working with guys, you know, these guys are working on cars all day long and a lot of times they'll get hurt or whatever. And they're in different levels of fear and resistance to it, but basically I've been able to lay hands on most of the guys in the shop and they'll be like looking at me all like, what'd you do? And then they'll be fine. And so they laid hands on a parts guy who's delivering parts. He's like, oh, I've been having migraines. I'm like, sit down over here real quick. And they're looking at me like, why? And I'm like, oh, just sit down and relax. What are you going to do? Just chill out. Don't worry about it. And then lay hands on his head. And then he looks at me. He's all wide eyed. And he's just like moving his head going, I couldn't do that before. What did you do? And I said, just say thank you, but not to me.
Well, you know, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus literally did. People would touch the hem of his garment. He would lay hands on someone. And what the reality of the fact is that the healing process is you're awakening the spirit within that person. So that Holy Spirit energy begins to awaken in their own bodies. And it begins to rebalance. And that's what the healing process is. And really what a healer is an embodiment of the Holy Spirit or divine love. So you could be walking down the street, like you said there, Scott, and he can touch you and boom, there you go. The pain's gone. And that's what healing is. It's not this big rigmarole. You don't need a bunch of letters after your name. You don't have to go to 100 workshops to learn how to just be an embodiment of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And I think Sheldon already touched on the other level of healing, which is through relationship, which is why I'm glad you brought up like your auto body shop. You're doing other things in that work environment that I think is really reflects all of our jobs that we should be doing, whether we have a day job or not. It's to be healing people's minds and relationships. So could you just tell us a little bit more about how you've been working with people at your shop, not work, but like the spiritual kind?
You know, the course talks about it's always your own personal responsibility. So when something comes up that brings you out of peace, you have to look inside, right? And you're looking inside not to judge and condemn, but to release and to surrender. And then when you do that and you start to make that connection and you solidify that connection, you're basically increasing a light level within yourself, right? And the way I describe it is like you become a pillar of light. So rather than
the other person, somebody else coming into your surroundings, and they affect you, and then you feel bad because they're in a negative space, you radiate enough light and enough love that they shift. So they start to feel happy around you or whatever. And, you know, in the course they call it the echo, right? That as you heal, everybody around you starts to heal. And that's just something that I think I started to see happening. Including with the guys and the people in my front office that I work with in the body shop. And I started, you know, basically meditating with people. It's been a couple shops that I've been doing this at, and every time that I've moved to a different shop, it's the level in which I've been able to sort of just do whatever I need to do has increased, and my freedom and the level of freedom to work with people has increased. But I've taught people how to meditate in the middle of a body shop with welding going on in the background, you know? Kinds of craziness. I'm like, hey, let's do a quick meditation right now. They're like, okay, cool. And we'll sit down and they'll be totally shifted by it. So it's bringing that light. It's not about escaping, right? It's like, it's not about leaving everything so that you can find a place where you light candles and do all that stuff to find a space where you can meditate. And that's a great practice when you start, because you might need that. But the whole point of it is to anchor into that peace, into that love, and bring that with you wherever you are. And so that you bring that with you, that presence, you practice the presence. And if you need to do it in a private space at first, that's fine. But you're bringing that presence into everything that you do so that God's love is infused and radiated. The light of Christ is radiating through everything that you do, with every thought that you have, with every word that you speak, with every action that you take. You are radiating light and love so that healing is happening constantly with everyone that you interact with.
See, this is amazing, because it's a big challenge for a lot of people to have their day jobs, their daily lives, and the big struggle I hear with my clients, and we've had this issue too, Scott and myself have talked about this, is being an embodiment of divine love no matter what situation or what job you're doing at the time. Most people have this idea that their sole purpose is to be this great healer on a mountaintop somewhere, or, you know, teach thousands of workshops all over the country. And that's not always the case. What you're describing here is exactly, I think, the formula for everyday folks. When they wake up in the morning, they go to their 9-to-5. It's not just their physical work they're doing. They're also an embodiment of divine love, no matter what's going on. So therefore, people don't feel so affected by the energies around them. Is that kind of what you feel like too, that once you tap into that energy, you're no longer affected by your surroundings, you're actually influencing it?
Exactly. And I, even with one of the guys that I was working with, we would have customers that called them up and, you know, they were yelling at them, right? They're totally angry, freaked out, their car's all broken, and they're upset. And he would go, oh my God, that person's so upset. And they're on their way over here and he's all afraid. And I said, well, you know, he's a person in fear. And a lot of times people, when their cars are damaged, they identify with that, you know, the automobile might be the most, you know, the most valuable asset they have, right, is their car. They don't own a home or whatever. And so it means a lot to them, and they can be in a tremendous amount of fear when that happens. So what does that need? They need love. And we would just put our hands together literally in prayer pose, just in for like 3 seconds. I go, just send them some love. That's all they need. And people would walk in like, hey, how you doing? Completely shifted like 5 minutes ago. And he's freaking out. It happened over and over and over again to where he started to really understand and get it for himself that, you know, love heals everything. And people are in fear when they're acting in ways that are oftentimes wacky and not very nice. You know, it's just like they're acting from a place of fear, and that, you know, that's all it is, right? It's either fear or love. Right. And when they're acting from fear, what do they need? Compassion and understanding and love. They don't need another fearful reaction. That just perpetuates the whole scenario. So if you can shift, then you're shifting them. And we had done that so many times. And so, you know, he would even say, yeah, he would tell the workers and the guys in the shop, which actually I was like a little trip. He's like, we send our customers love. But he was saying it, and it was true, you know, so.
Well, see, this right here, this truth, what you're talking about here, really gives people the understanding that they don't have to be a victim to their environment, that you're an empowered being enough to be able to send out divine love and influence and help sort of get people in the same vibe. So many people are so afraid of energy and how they're feeling. I've heard empaths, you know, I'm an empath too, but you know, I've learned over the years to anchor the light. But I can't go into crowds and I can't do this. It's so negative. And it's like, you know, quit being a victim. Be the powerful being you are. This is exactly what you're talking about, Sheldon.
Exactly. You're never a victim.
Yeah. And that, you know, the victim consciousness is still rampant in so many people's perceptions. And again, it's fear or love. And again, the victim archetype is nothing but a reflection of the energy of fear.
And it's the reflection of the energy of unhealed fear within yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that, if you can sit with that, right, sitting in the fire, they talk about sitting in the fire of your own stuff. When you can do that, not to judge and condemn yourself, but with love and compassion for yourself, because we, you know, oftentimes people have had things that happen when they're young and you know, things that, you know, those things just need to be healed and released. Right. So when you can look at the person, maybe it's a parent or something like that that's done something, you know, and when they can look at that parent as just having done the best they could with love and compassion, and also on themselves as a younger child or something, that child, you know, was hurt but just needs love and compassion. And when you can do that and release all of that stuff, you no longer you no longer see that in your life because you don't need to heal it anymore.
Yeah, and then you really begin to truly understand what co-creation is, because you're either creating from fear, which is nothing but chaos, or you're creating from love, and it's all based on how you're perceiving your life.
Exactly.
So when you begin to heal those aspects of your shadow self, you're no longer creating that into your existence. You're no longer manifesting that shadow aspect of yourself into your physical reality.
Right, because the world is not happening to you, it's happening for you, right?
Right. Yeah.
So everything that you're encountering is an opportunity for your own deeper awakening and healing. And if you really take it like that, right,
yeah,
which isn't always easy,
but
if you can do that, things will shift.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in dramatic ways.
So do you take clients? Do you have consultations with people? How can people get a hold of you, Sheldon?
Sure.
You're on a radio show now, so you are.
Does that mean I'm out there?
You're out there. You are so out there.
did you feel the fear barrier right there come up?
That's right. See, all our listeners, look, we're rebalancing fear right now.
Right now. Live. Awesome. So I guess my email is SSJ, which is my initials, SSJ888@gmail.com.
Okay. And I think you have a website too, right? Do you have a website?
Not yet, but someday soon, Sheldon will have a website.
Sweet.
And we're also at artsunitymovement.com, which is the nonprofit organization that I am part of. And
so talk about that. What is that? What is that part of your life?
You know what? It's a group of people that came together in that room in Sacred Pass. We were all following the course and doing the work, and we got to this place where obviously it's a process, and we're all still in that process of healing and releasing and surrendering on deeper and deeper levels. But we got to this place where we all started to feel really happy and wanting to just extend light and extend love. And how are we going to do that? And Colleen, who was one of the people in that group, had had this dream and vision of creating a nonprofit. And she'd actually done it a couple times before, but the people around her kind of, you know, it just didn't work out. So we as a group, and almost all of the people on the board of directors are from that Course in Miracles group that Scott started, came together, and we now have a center in San Mateo.
I want to make a correction. Darren forced me to start that.
It was awful. So this all started with you, Darren.
You know, I was just sitting here when you're talking about these, the groups of people and what we're creating. These are soul groups that incarnate, especially in this time frame, that not only just come together to help heal each other, but these are soul groups that are literally catalysts for awakening on the planet. So you're literally following a formula that's very well put together. We all were on the other side in the spiritual realm, we all said, you know what, we're going to do this. I'm going to help you do this, and you're going to help me do this, and we're going to gather together, and our intention is going to be this. And that's exactly what's happening here. As we incarnate, we found each other, and then we begin to awaken each other. Therefore, we can awaken the world.
Absolutely. We all feel and recognize what you're describing there, that we are definitely a soul group, a soul family. There is this, you know, a deep and profound connection and love for everybody in the group. And not just because we all, you know, traveled through that process together, which we did, but also that, you know, as a group, we have the center now, and everybody who's ever stepped foot in there is like, wow, there's a great, you know, energy in this place, and it feels really wonderful. And we are using art and movement, authentic expression through art and movement, through vibration and drumming and sound, through meditation as different tools for bypassing your cognitive thinking, analyzing, judging, controlling mind, and getting into that feeling state, right? To the heart center through feeling and being. And those are very ancient and potent ways of doing it. And so we're kind of bringing some of that back.
At this center is located in San Mateo, California.
149 right? South Boulevard in San Mateo, yeah.
Okay, and do they have a website? Did you?
It's artsunitymovement.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, and Scott, I think you have something to say, right? I interrupted you a couple of times.
Oh, no. I was just going to mention, I think you guys have a show coming up, right?
Yes, it's actually 1 week from today. We have a show, 149. It's actually going to be at Notre Dame Dana Maria University. And if you go to artsunitymovement.com, there's a link to buy tickets. And it's called Into the Unseen.
Ooh.
It's one of the processes that we've been working with, which is the dancers are performing. And we have artists that have been watching the performance and spontaneously responding to what they're seeing through visual art. And that art that happened a week ago, and then that art will be presented in the lobby and some of it on stage, and then the dancers are then interpreting and moving from that art. We've also had performances like that where we've had the audience come up, and I think we're going to be doing that again, where the audience will come up and respond to what they're seeing both visually with the art in the lobby and on stage. And so it becomes this process of awakening, really.
Yeah, that's definitely creative awakening. I have never heard that process before.
It's pretty cool. We're really excited about it. We've done kind of a test of it last October, and the response, we literally were afraid that, you know, nobody was going to ask. We had a question and answer period afterwards, that no one was going to stay and ask questions. And you know, we even had people with pre-planned questions in case nobody asked anything. And we had to cut off the question and answer period because people were asking so many questions. And at the end of that, we invited the audience to come up stage and express themselves, what they felt, what their response was, what came up for them, you know. And the entire audience flooded the stage. And I think they said literally, like, you know, we had like one or two people that had appointments, they had to leave, and everybody else was on stage drawing, writing messages, inspiring, you know, quotes and messages and stuff like that. So it was really beautiful, really beautiful, transformative experience for everybody.
Well, it definitely reflects the thirst and the need for our global brain for creativity and expression, because we live in such a world that's sort of created for us. You're supposed to be this, and you're supposed to do this and that, and our creativity begins to be numbed down. So it sounds like that this process is something that can really bring that back to people's minds and into their lives again.
Absolutely. And I've been told that it's, you know, the ancient Greek temple theater, that was part of the process.
I would see that, yeah.
Yeah, the theater was archetypal, you know, that it was designed to help awaken everybody who watched it. And so that type of, you know, and the movement and the dance, so we're bringing all of that back.
Good. Well, and it's also a process for spiritual and psychic awakening. People ask me all the time, how do I become more psychic? Well, become more creative and spiritual.
Absolutely.
You know, awareness is... Yeah, the awareness, intuition, psychic ability, that's all byproducts of your creative and spiritual awakening process.
Yeah, absolutely. In different ways for everybody, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm amazed, Sheldon. you and I haven't gotten to talk in years. But
yeah.
I've been, you know, Scott tells me the things that have happened and how much evolution has happened in your life. And that this is what Scott and I want to talk about is the ordinary miracles, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And you are literally the finest example of that. This is what's happening. You know, this is happening all over the world. There are individual souls awakening wherever they're at, whether they're bagging groceries at a grocery store. They are literally being embodiments of divine love, and this is part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's happening all over, for sure.
Yeah. You said something, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to remind folks, if they want to call in and ask Sheldon a question, the number is 888-627-6008.
And again, you can always contact us or listen to the archives of the show. I think the show will be archived by tomorrow, so a lot of you can go ahead and discover the things we're talking about. A Course in Miracles is acim.org. We talked a little bit about spiritual medical intuitive Carolyn Mace. Her website is myss.com. And Sheldon, give us your website one more time for the Art Center.
Arts with an S, unitymovement.com. It's one word, no punctuation in between the words, artsunitymovement.com. And I'm also running a Course in Miracles study group still Wednesday nights at our center at 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays.
You know, I encourage everyone to have some sort of spiritual ideal or spiritual discipline weekly to be a part of, and Course in Miracle groups, the Edgar Cayce groups, anything that's legitimate, has an authentic path, bring that into your life. You've got to have some sort of spiritual foundation in your life, and these groups are the way to go. Seriously.
They certainly are. And Darren, there's one thing I actually experienced last night with Sheldon that I had never, and that's basically, Sheldon, you're going down to see, essentially he's a Catholic minister or ex-priest, and now Darren's been sort of anointed in the process. In fact, Darren, you get a kick out of this. He had his whole Ron Roth robe garment outfit on and performed an initiation on myself and one other gentleman, and it was incredible. And I just wanted to give Sheldon some time to talk about that whole experience.
So I'm you know, on the path, right, as you're growing and people, different people come into your lives over time, I think. And so I met a gentleman, and actually a good number of the people who are on the board of Arts Unity Movement, it's that same soul group that we met at, you know, the Course in Miracles, met a gentleman who was part of what was called the Holy Order of Mans. And it was a holy order that was started in San Francisco in the 60s. And it exploded across the United States. And at one point, I think they had something like 1,500 priests and 72 centers throughout the United States and in a couple other countries. And they were running these nonprofit houses for dual diagnosed people, basically people with like addiction and mental issues and stuff like that, and basically creating a home that is filled with light, creating a field of light in a chapel within the house. At least this is the one that we go to. And that light can do obviously dramatic, miraculous things for people in any stage, regardless, because love heals all things. And so, you know, we go down to, we call him Bishop Michael, and we see him on Friday. I go see him on Friday nights, and he does initiatory work through, you know, so it's all part of an apostolic order. And so there are other continuing things that I'm getting into.
Oh, and the website for the Holy Order of Mans is holyorderofmans, MANS.org. And you're right, Scott, it sounds like Ron Roth, you know, the healer and teacher that was my mentor for a lot of years, an ex-Catholic that became a healer. They kicked him out because he was healing people. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So you gotta love the ex-Catholics that are healing people nowadays. So, but it looks like the Catholic Church is going through its own transformation now too. So I'm very happy about that as well.
It is, and I wanted to point this out because what I love about this, and it's called Uriel, like Archangel Uriel House. And again, it's this location that probably most people, what I would call normal people, it's like they probably, if they judge a book by its cover, would never know that this is a sacred place in the middle of San Jose that's just filled with light. As soon as I walked in, I almost started to cry. It was so beautiful. And it's just, I love the fact that Sheldon's bringing all this to our attention, that light can be anywhere you want it to be. And you can bring it as a spiritual leader anytime, anywhere.
Oh, we're created by light. We're created by God's light. We are light beings on this planet. And we are to bring that light here. We are the new Earth. You know, Scott, I have a soapbox about this. You know, there is no other Earth that we're going to be UFO'd to.
I couldn't agree with you more, Darren.
Yeah, this is the planet that we are spirit. We are bringing heaven to earth through the light of God that we awaken within ourselves. We are the shift. And so these organizations, these soul groups, all of us are coming together and banding together, again, to awaken this planet. This planet is the new Jerusalem.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is why it's so important that people begin to take their spirituality so seriously and really connect to who they truly are, because it's not just a hobby. You know, to some people, you know, spirituality is reading the latest bestseller book and having your latte at the bookstore. That's not your spirituality. Your spirituality is something that is experienced every minute, every day, and you have the ability to reflect that light to every single person that comes to you. And not only that, they're reflecting light back to you as well. So this is why we're all doing this, isn't it? Isn't this our job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that, you know, you connect to that love, the divine love within, and you let that love inform every thought, every word, every action, every deed. And, you know, it's kind of like the Eightfold Path in Buddhism, right? Right intention, right thought, right speech, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And to me, that's what it's all about. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. And we all, no matter what you're doing, have the ability to be that sacred catalyst. Every one of us. That's what we're all here for.
Like you said, that's a job, right?
It is.
You know, that's the primary purpose.
Yeah. People ask me, well, what's your job? I'm like, which one? A spiritual job, you know. So we have to realize, too, that everything that you're doing – I had a client, and I would bring this up again, that said, you know, I don't like my life. I hate my job. And I said, well, what are you doing? They said, well, I'm bagging groceries. I said, oh, perfect. And I said, what? Aren't I supposed to be some great, you know, this or that? And I said, no, you're exactly where you need to be. Because every person – do you know how many people that you can touch through your embodiment of divine love that walk past that cashier checkout stand? Do you know how many people that you could literally send love to? And from that point on, that person began to live their life from that point of view. I think they're still working at the grocery store, and they're one of the happiest people ever. They just shifted their thoughts about what their purpose was. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? You know?
Yeah, exactly. The way. Have you ever heard of the Way of Mastery? It's JM. He was channeling Jeshua. It's like a continuation of the Course in Miracles. And in one of those teachings that Jeshua was saying was like, you know, if my calling is to sweep the streets, then it's like then I will be the light of Christ in the sweeping of the streets. And
beautiful.
It was beautiful. I didn't even say it right, but I remember when I heard it, I was like, you know, then I'll be the light of Christ in the sweeping of the streets. And you know, that just really it's hitting me even right now, just thinking about it, that you are the light of Christ.
Right.
And no matter what you're doing, you are.
You are the light of Christ. Huh? And that's our sole purpose. The first question I get asked in doing private consults, what's my sole purpose? I said, that's easy, to be a co-creator with the Father.
Exactly.
And what that means is that you are literally bringing that creative, that divine creation into your life every day, no matter what you're doing. That is your sole purpose. Everyone's sole purpose is to be a co-creator with the divine.
Exactly.
You choked enough.
See, this is why we do this show, right, Scott? Is that this is the essential truth that every show is going to be founded on, no matter who we're talking to, is the fact that we are all divine, Christed beings. And once we awaken that and become connected to that, there is nothing in this world that we can't transform in our life. It's our compass. It's our navigational system. And that's why I always preach, you know, A Course in Miracles, the Casey material, there's so many things in this planet that we can literally bring into our spiritual lives that will help us awaken that process and stand firm on that foundation.
Exactly. And I think that's why there's a common thread, as we said in the first show, which is, if it doesn't come back to love and healing, then you're kind of wasting your time.
Right. If it doesn't come back to loving healing, you're wasting your – you know, that's a great Facebook post, Scott. If it doesn't come back to love and healing, you're wasting your time. I love that. That's beautiful.
Which is okay. You can waste time, but why?
We don't – you know, I always say I don't have time to waste time. There's stuff – you know, there's too much stuff that I have to do and create with the Father. I always say that, you know.
I had one that came up. It was like, the more you love, the less you care. Or the more I love, the less I care.
Ooh, gosh, that's good too.
So it's like, you know, it's about being in the presence of love, right?
Absolutely. We are here at the last 3 minutes of the show. And I want to go ahead and before we say goodbye to Sheldon, Scott, I want you to start promoting your CD one more time. Because this is also part of it. Once we start having better music in our lives, we can awaken a lot better. And Scott's CD is definitely a catalyst for that. Tell us more about it, Scott.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, again, it was, years of material put together. It's only 5 songs. It's an EP called La La Liberation. And it is, you know, a rock pop album. But the themes are around, like, I wrote one for my sister who suffers depression. And I want her to call in the light. And it's a song that touches me every time I think about it. Another song called The World Wants to Sing. It's a call to bring people to the whole planet together. And then there's some fun songs on it as well. But again, the intent is to, you know, have conscious messages in pop rock music. And the name of the band, even though I did most of it with some collaboration, is the band's called The Course. And you can check out our material at thecourseband.com, and Course is CORSE. And the EP, the physical CDs are out. It should be available on iTunes and CD Baby on August 15th. And for those in Seattle, we'll have a CD release party on Sunday, October 12th at 7 p.m. in West Seattle.
Ooh. Well, I'll be there in spirit. Fantastic. And if Sheldon, somebody wants to get a hold of you, can you give us your email and your website one more time?
Yeah, artsunitymovement.com is the website, and you can contact me through that as well. But also my email is SSJ, that's Sam Jacob, 888 at gmail.com.
Awesome. And if anyone cares or wants to get a hold of me, you can reach me at DarrenOwensOfficial.com. That's Darren with 2 R's and an I, OwensOfficial.com. And before we say goodbye, our next show will be on August 16th, I think. Is that right, Scott?
That's correct. Yep.
That will be an Ask Darren show. So all of you listeners, all of your psychic questions, supernatural questions, anything weird out there, I don't care. Call us, ask us. I will be happy to do my best. If I don't know the answer, I'll make something up. So it should be a fun show. We're going to try to do an Ask Darren once a month. So that would be a fun show. Sheldon, you're amazing. I love you, brother.
Love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on our show. We're going to have you on again because this kind of conversation needs to happen often. It helps people remember who they are, and that's what this show today was all about.
Maybe I won't freak out and cry this time.
That's okay. It'll be like Oprah, right? You'll be crying. You know, it'd be great. Go ahead. It's good for the show.
And I want to also thank Sheldon's wife, Jacqueline. She's been with us studying her love and her spirit. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Say that one more time, Scott. You were going in and out just a little.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to thank Jacqueline, Sheldon's wife. She's been sitting here with us, sending her love and wonderful energy.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Scott and I love every one of you, and God bless you. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you on August 16th. God bless.
God bless.